All right, morning. Today's daf in Bava Basra, Zayin Beis. We are finishing today the fourth parak of the Masechta. We're talking about the sale of houses, and we are continuing from yesterday's discussion, and that was a statement made by Rav Huna. Go back to Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, and you'll see Rav Huna towards the bottom of the Amud. Am Rav Huna, so just to read the statement, Am Rav Huna, Afagav Am Rabbanan. So the Chachamah of the opinion, so that when you make an acquisition of two trees in someone else's property, you don't acquire their actual property itself, you just acquire the trees. That's a halacha based on a Gemara coming up later on, the Masechta. It's coming up on Daf Pei Aleph, and so there's a possibility that without a configuration of three trees, you're only going to get the trees and not the property underneath. If you're buying three trees, so within a certain area, so then the assumption is that you're getting the property underneath as well. That's a halacha that's coming up later on. So Rav Huna says, fine. So that's a starting point. So that when you buy trees, it's possible to buy trees without property. However, Rav Huna says that there's a difference between buying trees versus retaining trees. Let's say you're selling your field, and let's say you're withholding trees from that sale. So So it's feasible to buy trees without property. However, but Rav Huna says, but if in the event that you're selling your property and you're retaining trees, so the retention of trees means that you're retaining the property underneath the trees as well. Rav Huna says that's the halacha, that is the assumption going into this discussion. Okay, so that was a statement made by Rav Huna, and what the Gemara, of course, does, because that's what it's doing now in the fourth parak of Baba Basra. This has been the theme of the fourth parak of Baba Basra, and that is that when you sell, are you selling generously, or are you selling from a miserly standpoint? Amocher b'ayin yafuhu mocher, or b'ayin rahu mocher? And that was a machlokas that we've seen consistently throughout this parak of Baba Basra. Machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva says that a mocher is selling b'ayin yafuh, and the Chachamim say that when a mocher sells, he's saying ba'ayin ra'ah. And this statement of Rav Huna, that when you're selling and you're retaining the trees to yourself, and you do keep the property, is that within the context of the Chachamim, or is that within the context of Rabbi Akiva? So that was what we discussed at yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, the statement of Rav Huna was on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, and then the discussion that ensued, which was really, quite frankly, a short discussion, because it was the balance of yesterday's daf, which was very short. So the Gemara there discussed whether he was talking in the context of Rabbi Kiva, or was he talking in the context of the Chachamim. So let's spell it out. Now, if he's talking within the context of Rabbi Kiva, that's very difficult to understand, because Rabbi Kiva says that when a mocher sells, he sells b'ayin yafeh. So that means I'm selling you my property, and I'm withholding the trees. So Rabbi Kiva says that when a person sells, he does so from a generous standpoint. Well, if I'm being generous, I'm selling you the property, I'm selling you all the property. If I'm just holding back the trees, that's all I'm holding back, just the trees, not the property underneath. So the Gemara concluded that, you're right, Rav Huna is not speaking within the Shita of Rabbi Kiva, but rather Rav Huna is speaking within the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that when a person sells, he sells b'ayin ra, it's with a stingy eye, so that means that when I'm withholding the tree, I'm also withholding the property underneath. To which the Gemara said yesterday, well, if Rav Huna is making a statement within the sheet of the Chachamim, isn't that obvious? That's the last line of the Gemara that we did yesterday. That was the last line of yesterday's daf. Let me just reread it. On the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, Pshita, the Gemara says, Kirabanan, if Rav Huna is making a statement within the sheet of the Chachamim, Pshita, Gemara says it's kind of obvious, meaning you're selling the tree. Sorry. You're selling the property, you're retaining the tree. Well, you're retaining the land underneath. The Chachamim say that when a person sells, he sells from a ayin ra perspective. And so therefore, he's going to, of course, keep not only the tree, but the land as well. So the Gemara says, Nafka minna dinafli hadrash asalu. Now, Rav Huna is making a chiddush. It's a limited chiddush, but a chiddush within the sheet of the Chachamim, and that's the following. Look, when you retain the tree, you're going to retain the property. But one could have considered, or one might have thought, that the reason why you're retaining the property is only as, literally, a house, a base for the tree. But if the tree falls down, maybe then you are going to be forfeiting the property to the buyer. What Rav Huna is teaching us is no. A retention of the tree is really a retention of the property underneath the tree, and that means then that you're retaining it permanently, indefinitely. In the event that the tree falls down and you want to replant another tree over there, you may do so. That is what Rav Huna is saying within the sheet of the Chachamim. Okay, the Chiddush is certainly not a huge Chiddush, but that's That's what Rav Huna is teaching us, and Rav Huna is all working within the Shita of the Chacham. Okay, so that's a quick summary of yesterday's daf, and today's daf is really almost entirely a discussion on this point. We start now on the very top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Matzis Mukmes La Karebi La Rabbi Shimon Karebi Akiva. Now, in the course of yesterday's daf, we said, well, Rabbi Shimon now is going to line up together with Rabbi Akiva. Now, again, just to clarify this point a little bit better, let's review. Again, we have Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim having a debate whether or not a Mocher is selling Bayin Yafa or Bayin Ra. Again, Rabbi Akiva says Ayin Yafa. Again, the Chachamim say Ayin Ra. Okay, that's what we know. We know those positions to be true. What do we know about Rabbi Shimon? Well, we had Rabbi Shimon in yesterday's daf. We had him in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about a number of different transactions. The Mishnah talked about sales. The Mishnah talked about the brothers dividing the estate. The Mishnah talked about gifting. And the Mishnah talked about acquiring Nechse Hager. And finally, the Mishnah talked about consecrating a field. Now, the consecration of the field, when you're Makdish a field, so let's ask the same exact question that we asked regarding all these other types of transactions. When you do so, do you do so from an Ayin Yafa standpoint or from an Ayin Ra standpoint? Now, by gifting, the Mishnah was very clear. No debate. When I'm gifting something to somebody, so I'm doing so by Ayin Yafa. I'm doing so with a generous eye. And there is no debate about that, because what am I getting in response for the gift? Nothing. So clearly, when I'm gifting, I'm doing so because I'm being generous. That's easy, that's pasha. But what about when I'm consecrating? So am I doing so by an yafa or am I doing so by an ra? You can make an argument, an easy argument, that consecration should be like gifting, meaning what am I getting in exchange for it? Nothing. On the other hand, if we could just give a little more nuance to this discussion, when you're gifting, there is a recipient, and clearly he's happy with what you're doing. You're doing so clear at a clear benevolence, because you're doing something good for somebody. But when you're being makdish, you're consecrating. Now, there is a recipient. The recipient is the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem, meaning, but it's not another person. You could make the argument, we are going to make the argument, that maybe when you're makdish, we're still going to have a debate whether or not you do so by Ayin Yafa or by Ayin Ra. In fact, in the Mishnah, we had this very debate. So, HaMakdish es Asdei, Hikdish es Kula. So in the Mishnah, I'm going back to the Mishnah on yesterday's daf. So there was a Tanakhama who says that when you're makdish everything. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, being makdish is just like gifting. There's no difference. When I'm gifting, I gift everything. There's no exclusion in the gift. It's buying yafeh. Same thing is true with when you're makdish. You're gifting everything, and therefore it's buying yafeh. And then in the Mishnah comes along Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Rabbi Shimon, Amar makdish es asadeh lo ikdish al asa churva morkav ve'estan ha-shikma. So Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah says, sorry. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that when you are being makdish, there are only things that are included in the hekdish when you're being makdish property, is only the carob tree and the sycamore tree. Big trees that are part of the property. And as the Rashi points out, other trees as well. But in other words, basically when you are being makdish a property, the pit, the cistern, the olive press, all those things which are normally excluded in a sale is going to be excluded in hekdish as well. Tree being the only exception. Meaning, to put it in simpler terms, according to Rabbi Shimon, when you're makdish buying raw. You're doing so from a stingy standpoint. Why are trees an exception to that rule? So that was what we saw yesterday in the Gemara. The Gemara explained that according to Rabbi Shimon, because the trees are getting nourishment from the ground belongs to Hekdesh, the trees are therefore Gidule Hekdesh. They're grown from Hekdesh, and therefore they assume the status of Hekdesh. But for that reason, and for that reason only, the trees belong to Hekdesh. But everything else is excluded from the consecration, and the reason being, because according to Rabbi Shimon, when you're Makdish, you're doing so by Ayin Ra, not by Ayin Yafeh. So, in the Mishnah, when we had a discussion regarding being makdish, it's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says you're makdish b'ayin yafer, and Rabbi Shimon says that you're makdish b'ayin ra. And now, here comes the Gemara, and the Gemara says, what did we do at the end of yesterday's daf? We lined up Rabbi Shimon together with Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Rabbi Akiva says that when you're makdish b'ayin yafer, and Rabbi Shimon now it's going to have a hard time lining up together with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Shimon says that when you, sorry, let me start that sentence again. According to Rabbi Akiva, when you're mocher b'ayin yafeh, and now the Gemara yesterday tried to line Rabbi Shimon up together with Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara now points out that's difficult. We are starting on the very top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Is it really feasible to line up Rabbi Shimon together with Rabbi Kiva v'Atanya? Now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa here is going to be lengthy and detailed, and really all we're going to get from this Braisa is one singular point, and that is that there is no way that Rabbi Shimon is going to be able to go like Rabbi Kiva. Now, on one hand, by the way, just as a historical aside, it does make sense that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Kiva. The Rashbam later on this daf points out, it's towards the bottom. It's when the lines become wide from end to end. I know it's the Rashbam much later on. The Rashbam points out that Rabbi Shimon, meaning Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Whenever we talk about Rabbi Shimon as a Tana, we mean Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And we also know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. In fact, he was one of the five. Right? Rabbi Akiva lost all of his students, the Gemara in Yevamos. The Rashbam here quotes it. He lost 24,000 of his Talmidim. And then he started again, and he started with five Talmidim. And one of those five Talmidim is none other than Rabbi Shimon. So, in a certain way, Rabbi Shimon did learn a tremendous amount of his Torah from Rabbi Akiva. So, from a Rabbi Talmud standpoint, it makes sense. But as we're going to clarify over the course of this upcoming Braisa, it's not going to work out. Rabbi Shimon is not going to be in alignment with Rabbi Akiva, and so therefore, what we said at the end of yesterday's daf is just simply not going to be able to ring true. Okay, now, in order to appreciate and understand this braisa, we're going to be talking about being makdish de'achuza, consecrating your ancestral property. If you're an Eretz Yisrael and you have a Yerusha from your parents who has a Yerusha from his parents, etc., going back to the Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, so you're going to have ancestral land. Ancestral land, you could be makdish that ancestral land. If you're makdish ancestral land, you have a chance to be poed, you have a chance to redeem that which you were makdish. Basically, you know, when you're makdish, when you're consecrating, in other words, obviously now the owner of that property after consecration becomes the Beis HaMikdash, but the purpose of consecration is really it's a way of generating funds for the Beis HaMikdash, because you are going to redeem it. In other words, that's the assumption. You're going to redeem the land, and then that money is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, how does that land get redeemed? So, if it's ancestral property that gets consecrated, so it's redeemed the Torah gives a specific amount, irrespective of the actual value of the property in which it's going to be redeemed. This is all the Gemara's in Erchin. What we're doing right now is basically all Erchin, not all. A good amount of Erchin is discussed as this. We're doing it over here in the context of our Gemara. And so that's the story with ancestral property. If you are makdish non-ancestral property, but property that you purchased, and you're makdish that, so then the redemption of that property does not come at the fixed ratio, at the schedule of the Torah, but rather the redemption comes bishav yav at its value. Okay, those are the basic rules. Let's do the braisa. The braisa is going to be very detail oriented. Tanya, we are now on 9 Beis Amud Aleph. Hikdish shlosha ilanos mimata asar lebeis ha'am. So let's say you were makdish three trees, and they were properly spaced from one another. The Gemara talks about ten trees being planted in a beis ha'am. A beis ha'am is. Right, 2,500. So 2,500 square amos divided by 10 trees is 250 square amos. So basically, you're planting the trees in a spacing where each tree gets 250 square amos. Fine. Anything less than that, anything more than that, is improper spacing, and therefore the trees and the land do not necessarily go as a unit. Well, you'll see that in just a moment. So hikdash shlosha ilanos mimata asar lebeisah hare hikdash es hakarka ve'esa ilanos shebeinehem. So by doing so, you're not just consecrating the trees, but you're consecrating the trees plus the land. Basically, it's a consecration of property. And lefichach kushu pod depod debezera chomer saorim bechamishim shekel kesef. And so therefore, when you redeem it at the schedule of 50 shkalim per chomer saorim. Beis zera chomer saorim. Okay, exactly what that is. When we get to Erechim, we'll discuss it. Just for our purposes right now, it's redeemed at the scheduled rate, not at the value. Palchus mikana yoser alkein. But let's say the trees are planted with proximity to one another or further apart from one another. So in other words, they're not properly spaced. So now you're makdish the trees. Or let's say the trees were properly spaced, but I was consecrated one tree at a time, not the three trees together. So there, under those circumstances, you only sanctified, you only consecrated the trees, not the property surrounding the trees, not the property underneath the trees. And under those circumstances, now you're going to be redeeming the trees at their value. Because again, the only time that you redeem at the fixed rate of the Torah is only when you are Makdish property. But if you're not Makdish ancestral property, but if it's trees on the property, now again, a tree on a property is obviously also considered property, but if it's tree on a property, it doesn't, you don't redeem it at the fixed value, but you redeem it at its at the fixed rate, but you redeem it at its value. The law owed, and the Brisa says, and I'll go even one step further, which is let's say first you were makdish the trees, and after you were makdish the trees, then you were makdish the property underneath, because first you were makdish the trees by themselves, so therefore the trees are considered a separate entity from that of the property. Redemption of the trees is going to be coming at its value, and then when you redeem the property, you're redeeming the property at the scheduled rate and not at its value. Now, that is a brisa. So what have we in this brisa? Basically, a look at a consecration of trees together with property. And the brisa over here entertains a discussion, clearly at the end, where I could be makdish trees separate from the property. Even though the trees are properly spaced, even though the trees, there are three trees in the area, I could be makdish the trees and then I could be makdish the properties as well. Okay, that is the brisa. Now, authorship of this brisa doesn't say, meaning the brisa just simply is an anonymous brisa. So now we have to deduce who the author of this brisa is, money. And that's the next step of the Gemara. E Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, is the author of the brisa Rabbi Kiva? Well, that's very difficult because Ha'amar Mocher Ba'an Yafa Mocher. V'koshekein Makdish. Well, Rabbi Kiva's starting point is that when you sell Ba'an Yafa. You sell generously. And that's talking about sale, where you're getting something in exchange for the sale and still you sell with a generous eye. Even though you make the argument, we could make the argument that when you sell, you're selling from a miserly standpoint because you're selling out of distress. If Rabbi Kiva holds that a sale is dusto b'ayin yafeh, it goes without saying, it's a very simple kal v'chomer, that if you are being makdish, where you're getting nothing in exchange for the consecration, you're doing so from a generous standpoint. So, if that's true, so then the brisa cannot be authored by Rabbi Kiva. Why not? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, sales done b'ayin yafeh, being makdish is done b'ayin yafeh, so therefore the moment that you consecrate the trees, the property is going to go together with the trees, right? The Rashbam says, Ilema Rabbi Kiva Amar Ba'an Yafa Mocher. The Rashbam is towards the bottom. It is where the lines are about to get really wide. The last Rashbam before that point in time. It's about seven lines up before the lines start getting very wide. V'svira le damocher shnei elanz yeshlo karka lelkech. The leisla masnisen damocher sasfina delokech shnei elanz besoch shel chaver ein lo karka. El rabbanan hikid deprisha sael. It must be going like the chachamim. V'koshekin le Rabbi Akiva Makdish beis ilanos. O gimel bezecher zed yesh lami al lehekdesh makom ha'ilanos v'yiftu agav karka lefi cheshman bezerach ha'mersorim. According to Rabbi Kiva, you sanctify one tree, two trees, it doesn't matter. Of course, hekdesh is getting the property underneath, because when you're being makdesh, according to Rabbi Kiva, you're doing so b'ayin yafeh. Again, if you're selling b'ayin yafeh, you're for sure being makdesh b'ayin yafeh. So the brice over here, which is making a clear distinction between tree and the property underneath, is not going like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, fine. What's our next step? Well, if it's not going like Rabbi Kiva, well, irabanan harmi mocher hu d'bayin ra mocher. So according to the Chachamim, when you're selling b'ayin ra, you're doing so with a bad eye. So, ava makdish b'ayin yafe makdish. So, but In other words, in contradistinction to selling, where you're selling with a bad eye, when you're being makdish, you're doing so by yafa. So the shita of the chachamim also does not fit into this brisa, because even though the chachamim do say sale is done with a stingy eye, but again, when you're being makdish, you're doing so generously. Again, you're not getting anything in exchange for the hekdesh, for consecrating your property. So again, it must be that you're coming from a generous standpoint. So we ruled out Rabbi Akiva. We ruled out the Chachamim. Elapshita Rabbi Shimon Hid. So there's only one Tana that we know about, based on yesterday's daf. Well, there's only one Tana that we know that says that when you're makdish, you do so by Ayin Ra. And that one Tana is none other than Rabbi Shimon of yesterday's Mishnah, as I explained in the beginning of today's daf. Rabbi Shimon Aliba Daman. So the Gemara says, now, Rabbi Shimon, who is he operating under? Meaning Rabbi Shimon says that when you're being makdish, you're doing so with a stingy eye, b'ayin ra'ah. He's operating under whose position? So again, Rabbi Kiva, we have to rule out completely. Because Rabbi Kiva says that when a person is makdish, he does so. Sorry. When a person is mocher, he sells with a generous eye. And again, if you're being mocher with a generous eye, you're for sure being makdish with a generous eye. So Rabbi Shimon is not operating under the shita of Rabbi Kiva. Elab shita aliba de rabbanan. So he must be operating under the position of the chachamim. V'kasav Rabbi Shimon, ki hecha de mocher b'ayin ra mocher makdish nami b'ayin ra makdish. So the starting point of Rabbi Shimon has to be the chachamim. When you sell with a stingy eye. And here's where Rabbi Shimon departs. The Chachamim say, well, you sell with a stingy eye, but when you're being makdish, you're not getting anything in exchange, so you're doing so with a generous eye. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, I think that being makdish is the same as sale. Just like when you sell, you're doing so by Ayin Ra'ah, when you're being makdish, you're also being makdish by Ayin Ra'ah. So, so now the author of this brisa can conform with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and with the assumption that Rabbi Shimon's starting point is that of the Chachamim. Now, with all that stated, that this entire amud from beginning to end is just one long run-on sentence, and basically the argument now that Gemara has just proposed is that Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah cannot be operating within the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Can't. It can only be operating within the opinion of the Chachamim, and on top of that, he starts with the Chachamim, but he concludes differently. The Chachamim say sale is done by Ayin Ra'ah, but being makdish is done by Ayin Yafeh. Rabbi Shimon starts with sale is done by Ayin Ra'ah, and that makdish is done by Ayin Ra'ah as well. Fine. With all that stated, so yesterday's daf, we said, you know, Rabbi Shimon must be going like Rabbi Akiva. And again, as we pointed out in the beginning of today's shiur, it makes sense historically. Rabbi Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but it can't be because the conclusions no way can match. And with all that stated, now as we turn to Amud Beis, so we're basically at an impasse. The El Akasha. So the Gemara says, so then, it's a little bit difficult to understand. What do we have right now? The shita of Rabbi Shimon, that when you're being makdish, you're doing so by Ayin Ra'ah. And just like when you're being mocher, you're being mocher by Ayin Ra'ah. When you're being makdish with Ayin Ra'ah. And now, what makes that difficult is, on yesterday's daf, we said, Hol v'yonkim mistei hekdesh. Remember what we said in yesterday's daf? We said that the sycamore tree and the carob tree, the chrov and the shikma, are, for Rabbi Shimon, the only things that will become hekdesh. Why? Because they're getting yanika, they're getting the nourishment from the ground. That is what Rabbi Shimon said yesterday. But now what we're saying today is that according to Rabbi Shimon, when a person is being makdish, he's doing so with a stingy eye. And if he's doing so with a stingy eye, so then we talked about how you can segregate the tree from the property. And so basically we're kind of at an impasse within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. We're trying to wrap our head around the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and it's not working. Yesterday we said trees and land go together when it comes to hekdesh. Today's daf we learned the brisa that says that you can be makdish the tree separate from the ground. You can be makdish the ground separate from the tree. We're kind of stuck. So Ela Rabbi Shimon le Devrem de Rabban Kamar Lahu. So the Gemara says like this. What we're going to have to do now is reintroduce ourselves to Rabbi Shimon, and this is how it's going to work. When Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that when a person is makdish, so he wasn't espousing his own viewpoint. He was saying to the Chachamim as follows: look, I understand your position. Ela Rabbi Shimon Devarim de Rabbanan Kamalhu. Lidi Dikeh de Mocher Bain Ra Mocher, Makdish Nami Bain Ra Makdish. Vishiyur Mishaer. Look, I say like this: that when a person is Makdish, it's no different than Mocher. Meaning, by Mechira, Ein Ra. And I think, this is Rabbi Shimon talking, that when a person is being Makdish, he's doing so also by Ein Ra. So that's my position, and so therefore, I'm always of the position that when you are retaining, you're going to be retaining both the tree and the land underneath. That's a given. But lididchu, but according to you, but according to you, look, the when you're being makdish a field. Now I understand that your starting point is that when a person is being makdish, he's doing so by Ein Yafeh. That's not my position, says Rabbi Shimon. My position is Ein Ra. But your position is Ein Yafeh. But you're going to have to agree with me that the Churav HaMurka and the Stana Shikma come along for the ride, but nothing else. Meaning no other part of the field comes along for the ride when you're being makdish. V'amile Rabbanan Loshna V'loshna. And the Chachamim say to Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry, to Rabbi Shimon, no. What do you mean? In other words, our position is that when a person is makdish, he's doing so by Ein Yafeh, and therefore a consecration of the field includes all parts of the field. Not only does it include the trees that are growing on the field, but it also includes the pits, the cisterns, anything else in the field. Even though in a sale, it would be excluded from the sale, but in the case of makdish, we think that a person is makdish by Ein Yafeh, and so therefore it's going to be included in every hekdesh. That's the way to understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon is not espousing his own personal viewpoint. He's just simply arguing on behalf of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim are telling us no. Telling him, Rabbi Shimon, no. You don't understand our position. Our position is fundamentally different. We think that a person is makdish by Ein Yafeh. Okay. So where do we land on all this? Now that we've reintroduced ourselves to Rabbi Shimon says that a person sells by Ein Ra, a person is makdish by Ein Ra. We have Rabbi Shimon not in agreement with his Rabbi Akiva. Again, another good example where Rabbi and Talmud are in disagreement. We have Rabbi. Agreed. On this issue, he's all by himself. Agreed. So he doesn't agree with his Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that sale is done by Ein Yafeh, that Makdish, the Hektish, is done by Ein Yafeh. The Chachamim have a split decision. Sale is done by Ein Ra, Makdish is done by Ein Yafeh. And we now have the Yeshita of Rabbi Shimon that both sale and Makdish is done by Ein Ra. Those are our three Shitas. And now, going back to what the Gemara proposed yesterday, that Rabbi Shimon is going within Rabbi Akiva, simply not true. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ella, we are now continuing. We are in Ayin Beis, Amud Beis. We are about 10 lines down. B'mayu kimta la k'Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Braisa that we saw on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, is going like Rabbi Shimon. Again, the Braisa that we discussed on the Amud Aleph was talking about the consecration of property, the consecration of trees. The Braisa clearly is able to separate the two. And you could consecrate trees to the exclusion of the property, and clearly the author of the Braisa is like Rabbi Shimon. At least that's what we proposed. So the Gemara now continues along this discussion. B'mayu kimta la k'Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay. So you're saying that the author of that Braisa of today's Amud Aleph is Rabbi Shimon and Masefa. The Gemara says, remember what we learned in the Braisa on the Amud Aleph. Well, it goes back to the beginning of this year. We talked about in the beginning of today's shir where a person was first makdish the trees and then makdish the property underneath. Okay, so basically it was a land, trees on top of the property, obviously, and he was makdish it in two steps. Step one, trees. Step two, the land underneath. In terms of redemption, you're redeeming it in two steps. First, you're redeeming it, trees first, because again, the scheduled redemption is only for property. So first you redeem the trees, bishav yehem, at their value, and then you redeem the property at the schedule of the Torah. So now the Gemara says, that's what the Braisa says, and we assigned authorship of the Braisa to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, for that, we have another problem, a new problem, and that is the following. V'i Rabbi Shimon lezel basar pijon, v'nikfiku agav arayhu dasham, inol le Rabbi Shimon dasar basar pijon. So the Gemara says, but, again, this is more Erchin talk, but we also know that according to Rabbi Shimon, look, there obviously when it comes to sanctifying and redeeming a land, there are two critical points. This is very straightforward. One critical point is when you consecrate the land, when you're makdish, and the other critical point is when you redeem. In terms of assessing whether or not I'm going to be redeeming at value or at the schedule rate of the Torah, so I have to know which is the critical point that I need to focus on. The point of consecration or the point of redemption. It would seem, as we'll see in just a moment, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the critical point is going to be the point of redemption. Meaning, even though it was consecrated in two steps, trees follow them by land, but if at the point of redemption I'm redeeming both, that sets up the critical moment in which we're going to decide whether we're redeeming at value or whether we're redeeming at the schedule rate of the Torah. And as we're going to demonstrate, according to Rabbi Shimon, it seems to be that redemption is the critical point, which means now that even though I consecrated the land in two steps, trees follow them by property, but if at the point of redemption I'm redeeming both, obviously now trees connected to the ground, and therefore I should be redeeming only at the scheduled rate of the Torah and not at the value. As we'll see, the difference is that the scheduled rate doesn't matter what the value is. In other words, the Torah gives a schedule for how much it needs to be redeemed at, and I only redeem at schedule rate.
It's not based on the number of years that...
Oh, meaning the schedule rate is going to be following how many years are left till Yovel, right. But in other words, but we don't look at the value of the land. Whatever the value of the land is...
But isn't the value of the land also based on how many years left till Yovel?
Yeah, correct, the value of the land. But when the Torah gives a rate, the Torah's rate is totally irrespective. It's just a schedule, and you just follow the schedule. So the Gemara says, and we know, or at least we think we know, that according to Rabbi Shimon, we're following Pidyon as the critical moment. How do I know that, Titania? The Gemara says, consider now the following Braisa. Minayin lokechsa deme aviv. Let's say you have the following situation. The son is buying his father's property. So it's a sale. It's not a stay achuza, it's a stay mecher. But being that the two people involved in this particular transaction is father and son. So it's a strange kind of sale. It's a sale which, had the sale never occurred, the son could, in fact, and probably will, inherit the property. If you go b'derech ha-teva, you go in the natural way of the world, dad's going to die, and the son's going to inherit the property. But it's right now the son buys it from the father. So it is right now registered as a sale. So, and then what happens is that the son, after he buys the property, consecrates the property. So what is he consecrating right now? Right now, at the time of consecration, he's consecrating a purchased property. And then afterwards, dad dies. So, in terms of redemption, what are we going to be following? Meaning, for a stay mecher, you redeem it at its value, at whatever its appraised value is. If it's stay achuza, you redeem it at the scheduled rate of the Torah. So, this property in question over here, when he was makdish, it was a purchased field. However, between now and when he actually redeems it, dad died. So, it's a stay achuza. So, at what rate is he going to redeem it? Tamalam ravim estay miknasar shalom estay achuza so. Sadashain ru yalo estay achuza. Yatzazusha ru yalo estay achuza. Divri Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rebbe Shimon. Right? Highlight over here the words V'Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon's telling us that he's going to be redeeming it at the scheduled rate of the Torah, not at its value. Why? Because, again, there are two critical points, the point of hektish and the point of redemption. At the time of redemption, what is his field? It's a stay achuza. Even though when he was makdishit, he was being makdishit as a stay mecher, as a purchase field, but when he redeems it, he's redeeming it as a stay achuza. And since he's redeeming it as a stay achuza, that will determine how he redeems it, meaning at the schedule rate, not at its appraised rate. Okay, what have we just seen together? That according to Rabbi Shimon, the critical moment is pidyon, not hektesh. And that presents a problem from Amud Aleph. On the Amud Aleph, we talked about a person consecrating first the trees of the property, then the land of the property, and then when you redeem it in the two stages. First, you redeem the trees at value, at Shav Yav, and then you redeem the property at the scheduled rate. The Gemara is saying, well, we said that the author of that brisa was Rabbi Shimon. Now we're bothered by the fact that we just learned together that according to Rabbi Shimon, redemption is the critical moment, and I base the rate based on the time of redemption, not the time of consecration. If at the time of redemption I'm redeeming both trees and property, so it should all be bundled together as property and therefore be redeemed at the scheduled rate, not in two different segments. That's the problem of the Gemara. Just finishing up the Braisa, Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin le lokech steh me'aviv u'meisaviv v'achakach hikdish minayin sh'teh lefanav kisteh achuzah tamalomer v'im es steh miknaso asher lo misteh achuzah so. Steh she'en esadeh achuzah yatzazushu steh achuzah. Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says that the only time that the son is going to be able to redeem the property at the scheduled rate, not at its value, is only if first he buys the property from his dad, then dad dies, and then he was makdish. Under those circumstances, then we can qualify it as a stay achuzah. However, if he was makdish before dad dies, he's being makdish as a stay mecher, not a stay achuzah, and therefore the redemption is going to be at value, not at the fixed scheduled rate of the Torah. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. And again, for our purposes right now, it's not our focus. Our focus is Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon has just taught us, seemingly, that, and the Gemara here, I was just going to read the Gemara. Gemara spells this out. Three lines from the, where the lines get wide. V'ilu Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Hecha de Meis Aviv, Achaka Chikdisha. So, the Hecha de Meis Aviv, Achaka Chikdisha. So, in a case where the dad dies, and then after dad dies, then he was Makdishit. So the rate in which he's going to redeem it is going to be at the fixed scheduled rate. And the reason why, seemingly, is because according to Rabbi Shimon, the most critical moment is going to be the time of redemption, not the time of consecration. And now that presents for us what is going to be our last problem of the day, meaning our last issue with that brisa on the Amud Aleph, because the brisa on the Amud Aleph says that when I'm not just trees follow them by property, I redeem it, trees follow them by property. Trees at Shav Yav, at its value, property at the scheduled rate of the Torah. If, according to Rabbi Shimon, as we just learned together, the critical moment is redemption, so we look at its state at the time of redemption, and we only redeem it at the state of the time of redemption. And if we plug that into the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we would say then that even though I was makdish trees and property in two different steps, but because I'm redeeming them together, they should all be redeemed at the scheduled rate of the Torah. That's the problem. Answers the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hecha de meis aviv achar kach hikdish lo tzricha kra. Ki tzricha kra hecha de hikdisha v'achar kach meis aviv. So the pasuk in terms of the drasha is only in a case where first he was makdish and afterwards the father dies. So So the Gemara says, had it been for the pasuk, I would have said that the pasuk is coming to teach me the point of Rabbi Meir. Mishum da azli baser pidyon. So it must be that Rabbi Shimon is following pidyon. Rabbi Shimon is following the point of redemption. Sorry, this is where the Gemara just simply wraps up its question. Am Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak la'olam ba'alma Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon lo asli baser pidyon. So the Gemara says like this. Maybe as far as this halacha is concerned, the halacha of the son buying his father's property, the son being makdish his father's property, then dad dies, then he wants to redeem the property. He's going to be paying not based on the time of consecration, but the time of redemption. We all thought together that Rabbi Shimon's position is based on a svara, based on a argument. And again, the argument is, there are two critical points, the point of makdish, the point of pidyon, and we thought that in terms of assessing how to redeem, we follow the point of pidyon, not the point of hekdesh. That's all what we thought. The Gemara now is going to tell us, no, that's not it. V'hacha kra ashkechu v'darash. Over here, it's not based on a svara, it's based on gzeira sakosov. It's how they darshan the Torah. And it doesn't turn into a fundamental point. it turns into just simply over here, this is what the Torah demands under these circumstances. But it doesn't speak to the larger point of what's more critical, the point of consecration versus the point of redemption. Im kein lechtov kral v'im es stei mitnaso, asher lo achuzaso, inam istei achuzaso. The Torah could have just succinctly said, it was a purchase field, not a ancestral field, or the Torah could have just simply said an ancestral field. My asher lo miste achuzaso. The Torah seems to be trying to drive at a point where the Torah says it is not from an ancestral field. Eshein arui li oste achuzah. Yatzazush arui li oste achuzah. It's by virtue of the fact that when he bought the property from Dad, so it potentially could have been an ancestral field. That's enough in order to classify, in order to categorize it as an ancestral field or not a purchase field. As long as it potentially could become an ancestral field, so that now allows us to categorize it as an ancestral field. But in other words, it's not a fundamental point. It's not a question of what's more important or what's more critical, point of consecration, point of redemption. It's just simply a gzeiras hakasuf, period. Okay, summary. That was a lot. A summary of all that. Basically, what we've seen so far today is, yesterday's daf, we said that Rabbi Shimon must align with Rabbi Akiva. Today's daf, we debunk that. It's just simply not true. Rabbi Shimon does not align with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that when a person sells, a person sells b'ayin yafeh. When a person is makdish, he's also makdish b'ayin yafeh. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that when a person sells, he's selling b'ayin ra. But when he's makdish b'ayin yafeh. And finally, then there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when a person sells, he does so b'ayin ra. And when he's makdish, he's also makdish b'ayin ra. A braisa that we saw in the beginning of today's daf, and Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, that talks about consecrating a property with trees, and the braisa clearly talks about how the trees and the properties can be separated one from another. Whose position is that? It's not Rabbi Akiva. It's not the Chachamim. The only position that can ascribe to is that of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon can entertain this discussion that when a person's makdish, he's doing so with a stingy eye, and therefore you can have this whole discussion of separating tree from property. And the only thing that was left unexplained until we got to the Amud Beis of today's daf is, well, it doesn't Rabbi Shimon say that the critical point is redemption? And if at the time of redemption, even though I was makdish the trees and the property in two different steps, if at the time of redemption I'm redeeming the two of them together, shouldn't that therefore dictate that they could be redeemed in one fixed rate? And meanwhile, the Braisa on the Amud Aleph says that they're going to be redeemed separately, trees at their value, property at the fixed rate. And the Gemara says, no. We misunderstood Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not think that redemption is the critical point. Yes, there's a braisa that talks about where the son is buying a property from his father, and then dad dies, and then he's redeeming it. He's redeeming it as an ancestral land, not as a purchased property, but that's a drasha. That's not a svara. And so that stays out of the whole discussion, and therefore where we stand right now is that the braisa on the Amud Aleph of today's daf is going like Rabbi Shimon. We're clear about that point. Okay. Finishing up the daf, finishing up the perek. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna tells us a couple of hybrids, if you will. Number one, Charav HaMarkav Estana Shekma. These really big trees, these big imposing trees, the carob tree, the sycamore tree, Taurus Ilan Alav, the Taurus Karka Alav. You know, sometimes in Halacha we're going to treat them like a tree, and sometimes we're going to treat them like a property. So Taurus Ilan Alav Deheche De'Akdish Ozav and Shnei Ilan Zvahai Yeshlo. So let's say you're selling two trees in conjunction with the sycamore tree or the carob tree. So 2 + 1 = 3. And therefore, those are three trees. And like we will be learning later in the Masechta, when you buy three trees properly spaced, you're going to be buying the property underneath as well. So in that regard, the sycamore tree and the carob tree is treated like a tree. Okay? Also, Taurus Karka Alav. On the other hand, the sycamore tree and the carob tree are going to be treated like property. How so? Delam Mizdavin Agavara. Because when I sell my property to somebody and I take the position of Ayin Ra, which is a Chachamim, that when a seller sells, he sells with a stingy eye. So when I take that position, so that means that I'm selling property. But if there's a carob tree in that property, if there's a sycamore in that property, these are big, imposing trees. Therefore, they're chashav b'fnei atzmo. They're considered a separate property. And therefore, this is not part of the sale. So basically, in this regard, we're treating the tree like a property. So in this, so basically, sycamore tree, carob tree is like a hybrid. Sometimes it behaves like a tree, sometimes it behaves like a property. The Amrav Huna, and another area where we find this kind of hybrid, where something can behave like two different entities, is Omer Sheshbo Sasayim. If I have a bundle of sheaves that contains a Sasayim, that's a volume amount. So Taurus Omer Alav, Taurus Gedish Alav. Sometimes it can act like a sheaf, it can behave like a sheaf, and sometimes it can behave like a pile. The Gemara goes on to explain. Taurus Omer Alav, Dishnei Amrim, Shechacha, Shnaim Vehu Eina Shechacha. The halachas of Shechacha. It's a strange halacha. The Torah tells us that when I am collecting the sheaves in the field, and I forget one or I forget two, so that no longer belongs to me, that's now Matanos Aniyim. That's to be left for the poor. It's a strange halacha because the only time I could think of where you have now a mitzvah opportunity based on the fact that you forgot. You forgot it? Okay, now it belongs to the poor. But the halacha is very clear that's only if I forgot one bundle or two bundles. Once I forget three bundles, that's too significant, says the Torah. The Rashbam over here goes through Pesukim in terms of how we darshan these halachas. But the halacha is very clear. Three bundles is not considered shechacha, and therefore you can go back and collect them. One and two is considered a bundle, therefore you leave them for the poor. If I have this really big bundle made up of a sasayim, and this together with two other bundles were left in the field, that qualifies now as three, and therefore that doesn't go to the poor, I get to keep them. On the other hand, Taurus Gedish Alav, because the bundle's so big, so it therefore has a halacha of a Gedish. Didnan, Omer Sheyesh Bo Sasayim, Shechacho In, I'm sorry, Shechacho Ein Shechacha. Because the bundle here is so big, it's not independently, it's not considered a sheaf, it's considered a Gedish, it's considered a pile, and therefore it cannot qualify on its own as a bundle left for the poor. It therefore has a halacha of a gedish, right? This pile, and therefore is not left. If I forget in the field, I do not leave it for the poor. Okay, so again, it's a hybrid. It sometimes can behave like a sheaf, and sometimes it can behave like a bundle in of its own. Okay. Amar Rava Bar Barchanan, Rav Shlakish, Karav Amorka V'Stana Shikma, Bundle Machlokas, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, V'Rabbanan. Okay, the carob tree, the sycamore tree. So this is a machlokas between Rabbi Menachem and Rabbanan, meaning that when a person is makdish his field, are they included in the hektish, are they not included in the hektish? So the Gemara says it's a debate between the Chacham and Rabbi Menachem. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We're on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. V'lema machlokas, Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. What do you mean? The Mishnah, which was yesterday's daf, told us it is a machlokas. The principal opponents on this machlokas are Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim, not Rabbi Menachem and the Chachamim. The Gemara says, Hakamash Malan, to Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, to Rabbi Shimon Svirulei. So the Gemara says that, okay, you're right. What we just learned together is that Rabbi Shimon is not alone on this issue. He's got one other Tana in his position, in his court, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Menachem. Okay, so just it's helpful back then in the Beis Medrash when you were learning Braisas and you came across the position of Rabbi Menachem, and so therefore now in your mind you could organize and align it together with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, where do we stand after all said and done? Basic machlok is whether a sale is done by an yafa or by an ra. Another machlok is whether or not by hektish you're doing so by an yafa, by an ra. We have now learned together that according to Rabbi Shimon, being makdish is done by an ra. He is a singular opinion on this matter, although we can now add Rabbi Menachem to the list as well. He's got one other Tana in his court, but he's a singular position in this matter. The halach is that when a person is makdish, he does so by ayin yafeh, not by ayin ra.